Welcome to another episode of Umi in the Wonderland. So, what are we wondering today?
Because I'm always wondering.
And that's the reason this podcast exists. Because I wonder, and I want to share my wonders with you. Maybe we can come up with the new wonders, new ideas about things, new understanding about things. So what have I been wondering? I've been wondering about the existence, right? How we exist and how this world came into being, or how we came into being. Because I touched on something in the last podcast about God, Creator, right? And I've been on this journey for, I would say, ever since I was 16, 17, to really understand the purpose of me, I suppose. Like, why do I exist? I know I exist because my parents decided to have sex, and then as a consequence, I was conceived and I came into this world. But okay, I came into this world, and then what? They raised me to be an adult, to be independent, to have my own thoughts and my own perspective about the world, right? But that can't be it, right? You can't just come into this world, follow a narrow set of instructions that have been passed down to you from generations, and not challenge your perspective. Not their perspective, but your perspective, right? So I will start this podcast with a little story. It's a symbolic story, but it would help me explain few things to you. So the story is of a being, a human being, a woman, a man, who was living in this really beautiful landscape, and there was a beautiful mountain where he used to live. And as a child, he always used to wonder, what's the view on the top of the mountain, and what would he see when he reaches the top? So he became an adult, and one day he decided that he's gonna make that journey to see what's beyond the mountain and what's the view. So he set on this journey, came to the foot of the mountain, and he saw a traveler coming down from the mountain. So he stopped the traveler, right? And he asked him, "How was your journey and what's the view on the top?" So the traveler explained his journey and explained the view of the top. And after listening to the traveler, he thought, well, this seems very hard. And the view doesn't seem really impressive. Anyhow, I need to find more information about the view and the journey. So he set across the foot of the hill in search of another traveler who was presumably coming from the top. So he met another one and he asked the same question. How is the journey and what's the view on the top? And the traveler told about the journey and said what the view was from the top, right? And then this man, this woman, this being thought things to himself. Well, this seems very, very hard. The journey seems very hard. And the view is not that impressive that he imagined as a kid, right? So he said, okay, I need to find more information. And he sets on another journey in which he meets like 40 of travelers, right? And he asks the same questions. And after meeting 40 travelers and, you know, going around the mountain, on the foot of the mountain, he came to a conclusion that he knows what kind of a journey awaits him. And he has an understanding of the view of the mountain as well. What's on the other side. And he would rather not do the journey and see for himself what the view is. So he abandoned the journey. What I want you guys to understand is that I have absolutely no clue what I'm talking about. I don't know anything. All I can do is share my journey, and I wouldn't say I am on the top of the mountain and I can see the view, but where I am in my journey to the top of the mountain, or if there is a top, it might just be an endless journey until I die, but I can share you my journey. I can't share you the top of the mountain, but I can give you a sense where I'm at. But you should understand that you have to make the journey yourself. Nobody can tell you. Literally, nobody can tell you what the view is or what the journey is, because every journey is so personal. And my journey to find God started when I was 16, 17. I have a very curious mind. I tend to ask why a lot. Tend to ask why. Why is it the way it is? And why is it that it cannot be otherwise? So I grew up as a Muslim in a, I wouldn't say conservative Muslim family, I would say Muslim family. I grew up knowing Quran, believing in Allah, one God. Allah. And I was convinced that Allah exists and Muhammad exists, and if you pray towards them, you will, you know, you'll find peace, you'll find happiness, you'll find love, you'll find lots of lessons in the religion. So it's a complete way of life. That's the way I used to see. But there has always been, like, why for me. And that's part of my journey that I started even when I was in, when I was, you know, in my early 20s. Friends used to say that I'm an atheist because I used to question a few of the religious acts that we have to do, like, for instance, slaughtering of millions of cows. I understand the sentiment, I understand the tradition, but what I didn't understood was that people were spending millions of rupees acquiring these animals. And it was more like, what I observed was it was more like a show off. Like, for example, Eid, right? We'll get to Eid. Let's talk about fasting for a month of Ramadan, right? So for me, I love the concept of fasting for a month. I completely understand and I completely endorse the fact that you should do a month of this exercise in which you starve your body from dawn to dusk and basically regulate your body for the next, prepare your body for the next 11 months, right? So from the Islamic point of view, as I understand, right, the holy month of Ramadan is there for you to purify yourself so that you are ready for the next year, the next part of that calendar. So what you do, you fast from dawn to dusk, you don't eat anything, you don't practice any immoral behavior, you don't think about bad things, you don't do bad acts. You basically get in line and reflect. Because I believe food is a distraction, right? It's the distraction of the mind. And it is like an ultimate month you have, right? Where you are abstaining from the most basic distraction a human body can have. Food. Like, food is, you know, we need food to survive. But in this world, food is, you know, our lives revolve around food. Our societies are obese. You know, people are fat. And fat and fat, and they're consuming and consuming all the time. So it's an amazing concept to abstain from foods, abstain from your distractions, everyday distractions, and just focus on something good. So I understand the concept of Ramadan, and I love the concept, and I love the fact what it represents. But where I have an issue is that while it is practiced in reality around the world in Muslim countries, it's completely different. It is commercialized, and it has been commercialized since, you know, capitalism took over, basically. Like, there are shows, and then you have to have elaborate iftaris, and you have to show off, and you have to wear clothes. The whole point of having simplicity, having to reflect on your months, past year, and prepare for the next year, right? So in holy month of Ramadan, in the last few days, like the last 10 days, you're able, there is this thing in which you isolate yourself, men in the mosque and women in their houses, in the room, and they read Quran, and then basically the point is that you ingrained yourself with the Islamic knowledge, because you know you're there, you're isolating yourself and you're studying Quran, so you're getting ready for the next year, and you're, you know, prepare, you've been thinking about the previous year, so it's a time of solitude, you don't talk to anybody, you're just pious. That's the whole concept. But what ends up happening in Muslim countries or in Muslim households is that that simplicity, that essence of Ramadan has been replaced by, well, you know, I'm looking forward to the biggest iftari, or I'm looking forward to going to seri parties, and it's become more like a status thing, a ritual, a habit that needs to be repeated every year rather than something to be looking forward to. People should be looking forward to that month so that they can, you know, repent on their sins for the last months and, you know, forge new relationships for the next year. Because that was the whole purpose of it in the Arab world, right? In the beginning, when Islam was, you know, starting in the Arab world, that was the whole point, that food was scarce, really scarce, right? So Prophet Muhammad came up with this, you know, this idea that we should be having 1 month of fasting so that we understand for the next 11 months, if we have to go through that, we are mentally and physically strong enough to endure that, right? Because food was very little. It wasn't like, you know, nowadays where you have fucking 24-hour McDonald's. You can stuff your fucking face with 3 Big Macs and die of cholesterol the next day. Anyhow, right? Fuck, where was I? So when I was growing up, I understood religion. I understood, I wanted to understand more. So I took a deep dip. People don't know that. My family think that I haven't, but I have. I've dealt into, you know, very deeply in as well. So when I came, that was my basic understanding about religion, and Islam was the predominantly religion that had affected my personality, the way I viewed the world, and there was no other alternative ever presented to me, or I even went out to look. I didn't went out to look for it as well. I just accepted it till I was 16, 17. But then when I was 16, 17, I remember having these thoughts of why. Because I was, you know, I didn't understand the concept of heaven and hell. Because I, you know, one time I was just sitting down and I thought to myself, well, I wonder what hell would be like, right? And it, you know, I tried to imagine the worst case scenario, and it was really terrible. You know, I can come up with a very bad scenario in my head. I came up with the worst kind of scenario, like, you know, blazing snakes and dragons throwing flames on humans and just, you know, absolute chaos. Like, if you have seen Game of Thrones, right, you can imagine the last episode. Probably people of Westeros or people living over there, dragon throwing flames from the top, might be pretty close to hell, right? And then I thought to myself, well, I wonder what kind of a god would create that kind of a place, and then it would throw its creation in because they didn't follow the exact sets of rules that he gave them. So that was the first time I thought, hold on a second, is there something different? What, really? Like, you could be the best human being possible, but, you know, you can masturbate and you'll go to hell forever? Or, you you know, there is no repenting. Anyhow, that rang my belief at that time. And then when I moved to Britain, that's when I started to realize that other religion exists. I knew other religion exists, but I never really interacted with people of different religions, so I didn't really had a perspective. And I remember I have a friend Ruth, right? And she was Christian. She's from India, but she's Christian, and she loves Jesus. Like, Jesus is the favorite person for her, right? And I remember, like, one Saturday morning I woke up at 6 o'clock, and I was trying to go back to sleep, but I just couldn't sleep, and I thought, fuck, it's Saturday and it's like 6-7 o'clock, what the fuck should I do? So called my friend Ruth Trifosa, right? And I'm like, Ruth, what the fuck are you doing? And Ruth is like, mate, I am gonna go to the church. And I'm like, Ruth, can I come to that church of yours? And she's like, yeah, man, cool. That would be really cool for me, you know. I'll introduce you to my community and my people. And I was like, okay, cool. So I go to this church, right? It's in South Kensington on Exhibition. Right next to Exhibition Road, where the Science Museum and Natural History Museum is, and Victoria Albert Hall, Portrait Gallery is. Very posh church, right? So I go to this church, and the stage is like, it's like a concert, right? And I'm sitting in the front row because Ruth is like really into this Jesus stuff, so she has access to the front rows of the church. And then this three kids come up, not kids, I would say young, really beautiful girls, really handsome guys, and it's a band, and they started playing like rock music, like Jesus, Jesus. And I'm like, what fuck is happening around here? I cannot believe. I must admit, I did have a joint before that. I did have a joint before that. So these Jesus people go around and they're like, Jesus is the best, and they're singing, and they seem really happy, and they seem relieved that, you know, they're singing about Jesus. So I just sing along, and I have no idea what's going on. I'm shitting myself standing in the front, and this, everybody knew that I was with Ruth. Everybody knew I was a Muslim because I look like a Muslim with beard. I thought, okay, everybody knew, but I really don't know. I was thinking at that time, because I was feeling so out of place. But I'm like, okay, let's go along. So I attend Jesus ceremony, and it's like a fucking rock concert. Right? And the Jesus thing finishes, and I start meeting Ruth's friends, right, the community that she's in, man, really intelligent people. And I had, because when I left Pakistan, right, I developed this thing that, oh, all Jesus, all religious people are just nutcases, they, you know. Yeah, really. I just thought that it doesn't resonate to me, the religion thing, so I might not actually enjoy people's company. But then I realized, no, they're like really cool people. And so she introduced me to her, you know, circle of friends from Jesus, and I was like, okay, cool. We went afterwards to have coffee. And then I stayed in touch with these few Jesus people. And then I realized, man, they really love Jesus. And they believe exactly what I believe. I used to believe, like, you know, Jesus is the ultimate religion and everybody else is just, you know, they're wrong and they're right. And I was like, man, I thought I was right, right? So I've been taught about Islam and that is how it is. And you know, I thought, okay. But then I see these people who are really into Jesus, like Jesus Christ. And they live their life according to Jesus, and every step they take, their friends are more close to Jesus. And like I remember they were preaching me, right? All the time I was with these Jesus friends, these people. They were trying to tell me that I would be so much happier only if I embrace Jesus. And I was like, well, I'm happier now. Oh, you'll be even more happier. I said, well, I'm already at a fucking happy level, because right, I'm from Pakistan and I'm in London, right? The first year in London, and for me it's Narnia, you know. It's the most beautiful city in the whole wide world for me, because I don't have any other comprehension. That's the only, you know, second city that I've lived after Lahore, in my village, in my small town Papatan. Yeah, I can keep an eye on her. Okay, and then I'll pause it and then I'll continue the podcast. Alright, I've got to pause here for a while. So, where was I? Jesus people. Right? So I started meeting these Jesus people. And I started to realize that they believe in what they believe in as much as I know people who believe in Islam. They believe in Christianity, right? It's like, from an Islamic point of view, it's easier to see Christians as of the same category, the same five books, oneness of God. But from the Christian point of view, I didn't feel that there was an acknowledgement of the Muslim religion. It was more like, yeah, they exist. But from a Muslim point of view, Christianity has always been like, okay, not only they exist, but they are part of the same oneness of God. Yeah, and it just got me thinking. It made me start wondering that how is it that people believe whatever they believe in, do you understand? How easy it is to believe. So that was my journey, right? Because after meeting these Jesus people, and I, you know, my time in Pakistan, my life in Pakistan, my initial life in Pakistan, surrounded by Muslim conservatives, I found that being religious or following a particular ideology, it is as if you are on a particular journey, and every journey is valid. You cannot dismiss that journey, because you haven't gone on that path yourself. And that was just the beginning of my this journey on of exploring different ideas of God, the Creator. So yeah, I'll be sharing this journey with you in this podcast for the first season, I guess. Yeah. Wait till you I get to Scientology. That's a story in itself. So, until next time. Krishna as well. Cha. Rasta.